It's called The Black Man Is God. It's called The Black Man Is God. Next album. This is for the children. You know what I'm saying? I got this idea from myself, of course, but this is for the children. I got.
Make this prediction. This will be the biggest upset in all fighting history. It'll be the easiest fight of my life.
You think your cousin can whoop me?
You really do?
Anybody on your watch?
Anybody in my family?
He's young. He's handsome.
They know it.
He's a poet, a prophet.
Goal ain't having that. Who would have dreamed from karaoke to cassette? I met OB as an OG in the taxi. Nah, I was legend. Rest in peace, Pop's a legend. Mike Corey and Sean Jordan was the essence of the young chorus where we grew from. Seemed like a second, now they less important to the new sun. I guess today weighs more than yesterday. It's morbid to suggest that they will come for them too. When it's a brother younger than you, who humble and who? Used to coach him, now he coached him, blew up, who knew? He caught you on a rough night, you were stumbling through. Now he telling you to get yours, get yours.
All of you reporters made it hard on them. Never write about me like that. Never make me think wrong. Just make me angry. Never make me go underdog. And never talk about who's gonna stop me. Well, ain't nobody gonna stop me. Not a heavyweight in the world fast enough to stop me.
What's up, party people?
A prophet.
What's today? July 11th, 2016. This is the one and only preseason podcast of the year. Jay Hicks, the Hip Hop Sports Report podcast, is back in your living room or in your bedroom or in your car or in your iPhone, Samsung, underwater device that you can pour champagne on, whatever device you listen to the podcast. We're back again, y'all. So this is a little bit different. We're doing like a little different version of the podcast this time around. And I wanted to kind of break it down to you guys before we actually get into the show itself. So what we have here is a joint effort, Hip Hop Sports Support, joint collaboration with the Rundown South website, ran by my man CL Palmer down in Atlanta, Georgia. Y'all remember him from last year. He and I collaborated on a couple podcasts last year. During the NBA playoffs and what have you. We had to connect after everything that's gone down in the playoffs this year with the Cavaliers winning the championship. And the NBA draft and, of course, free agency and all that. Has been a lot of craziness for free agency. Tim Duncan just retired. Amazing career. We salute you here at Hip Hop Sports Support, all of that stuff. But we knew that we had to get back on the same page and collab once again. So we came up with the idea to do a joint podcast, which was actually a video podcast using this app and that CL and I, well, CL actually discovered it, you know what I'm saying? And we kind of put it together. And so it turned out really fresh, you know what I'm saying? So you can check it out. I'm going to have the video version of this podcast on YouTube so you can see my exquisite face. For the very first time on YouTube, you guys are going to love it. I guarantee you, my mom and dad are not ugly. You know what I'm saying? They produce a very good-looking young man here. And I want to share that face with the world finally. So, I mean, why would I deprive the world of this face? You know what I mean? No, I'm totally kidding. I'm very average-looking, but I do what I can. I'm all right. You know what I'm saying? I married up, though. That's for sure. That's the goal in life. You marry up. You know what I mean? My wife is gorgeous. So, score one for me on that one. But, So what we did was, like I said, we ended up recording this podcast yesterday, and so the video will be out on YouTube. It will be out on Hip Hop Sports Support YouTube channel. At least that's the plan right now. But I wanted to make sure that we took the audio from it and made it into an audio podcast as well. So and the reason we're doing that is because it was a fantastic discussion, man. CL brought it, my man Anthony brought it, and it was fantastic. So Anthony Houston of Hip Hop Sports Support was actually on the podcast. So it was the two of us, the two HHSR members plus CL holding it down for the Rundown. So obviously you can always find us here at hiphopsportsupport.com. And the podcast, of course, is on Stitcher Radio and iTunes, as we always make sure that we point out. And of course, the Twitter handle is at HHS Report. Same for Facebook, facebook.com/HHS Report. You guys know where to find us. And for the Rundown, if you're looking for the Rundown or whatever, this. You can find him at The Rundown South on Twitter. That's the actual Twitter handle for The Rundown. And that's D-A, that's hashtag, excuse me. So let me back up. Okay, so I almost messed up. I don't want to mess up CL's plug, you know what I'm saying? So it's actually at D-A and then Rundown South, all one word, at The Rundown South. You can follow him there. And the website is therundown.com. So there you go. You can hit up CL there. And of course, you can find Anthony on Twitter as well, at AK Houston. That's H-U-E-S-T-O-N. We ended up talking for so long, y'all, that we had to break it up into two parts. So what we did was part one, CL kind of wanted to start off talking about basketball, and the conversation quickly went left. You know what I'm saying? And that's how it goes sometimes. We started off talking about LeBron and his legacy and his place compared to Jordan, and the conversation quickly morphed into Anthony trashing Michael Jordan, as he's prone to do. From there, we ended up talking about whether or not Jay-Z is falling off, and we went to the hip-hop lane. And so we talked quite a while about Jay-Z, what his mentality is right now as an artist, and why, if he's falling off or not, and why he might be, and type of position that he's in, and whether or not he's in a no-win situation. We've kind of touched on that here on the site and on the podcast before, but we got much more in depth with it this time around. And then from there, we ended up going into the Drake and Joe Budden beef. And of course, there's a new column out on Hip Hop Sports Report today about the Drake and Joe Budden beef. I give you guys my take as to what is the motive behind all of that. And then I kind of stepped on the article a little bit on the podcast, so you guys can hear my take verbally. And you can see the written form of what I think of the Drake Joe Budden situation. So we went into that. And then we ended the first part of the podcast talking about the greatest diss record of all time and what that might be. So I think you guys are really going to enjoy it. Like I said, it's something new, it's something different. And I think this format that we use, I think, is going to open up some doors as far as how we may record some of our podcasts in the future. So it was really dope. Shout out to my man CL for making that happen. Shout out to Anthony as well. And shout out to my man Kenneth Hicks, who's always holding down Hip Hop Sports Support. So we're going to go ahead and get into part one of this two-part mega podcast with CL Palmer and The Rundown South, y'all. Let's take a listen.
CL from at The Rundown South on Twitter. You follow me as well. I've been on Twitter. Do a lot of sports, business, hip hop, or music in general. But now I'm just trying to bring everything together. So that's a little bit about me. I guess we are, I don't know what's that, clockwise. Anthony, go ahead and tell a little bit about yourself.
I'm Anthony. Part of the Hip Hop Sports Report team. I started my own little spinoff pod talking about the Knicks. You know, I'm always repping for better or worse. It's the Orange and Blueprint Knicks podcast. You know, come every so often. It's not as consistent, but whenever there's big news going on with New York, I'm gonna talk about it. Give you some real. No spin zone kind of view on it.
So you're basically saying you're not a fan, you being objective.
I mean, I'm not objective by any means, okay. But I'm not like a lot of Knicks fans shoot for the moon or just like dig for the grave all the time. I try and be in the middle about it because there's so much just noise around the Knicks. So
right. That's
what I try and be.
Got a lot of media outlets, so
there's too many.
Yeah, it's a lot. New York is big in that sense.
Yeah, there's too many mouths to feed, so they gotta like keep stuff going.
Okay.
So, yeah.
I feel you on that. Well, where can they find that podcast at?
You can always find it on the Hip Hop Sports Support page. And if you go there, you can search for Orange and Blueprint or the Knicks. Anything that you look for there, it'll come up. No problems.
That's a fact, man. All right. Now, well, last but not least, boy Jay Hicks. Finally see him face to face. We did about, three podcasts already?
Yeah, we done did a few. We did a few for sure. I hear an echo on my side, too, when I hear myself talk. I don't know what that is, but okay. Nah, it went away.
All right.
I think it went away. Yeah. I think we straight now. But yeah, we've done quite a few podcasts, so we know we had to get back this year. But yeah, Jay Hicks, y'all know me from the Hip Hop Sports Report podcast and from hiphopsportsreport.com, of course. And obviously, we've been doing the site for going on 4 years. It'll be 4 years next month, actually. So yeah, the site's been around for a minute. And I know it's 4 years next month because our first piece was about the 2012 Olympic Games. So that's how I know it's 4 years is coming up. We're going to have to do something special for the anniversary. So we'll figure something out for that. But yeah, and the podcast, Hip Hop Sports Report podcast, the preseason podcast of the year, as it's known, from coast to coast, across many lands. You know what I mean? We've been doing that for about almost three years, something like that. So y'all know me from there. And of course, like I said, or like Anthony said, I should say, the Hip Hop Sports Report podcast has kind of branched off into also the Origin Blueprint podcast. So we house both within our podcast network, so to speak. So if you go to Hip Hop Sports Report, you can find both the preseason podcast of the year and, of course, the Origin Blueprint podcast. We're also on iTunes and on Stitcher Radio. So you can find both of the podcasts there also.
Okay, that was up, man. And y'all can always get the Rundown South on all those platforms. You on Google Play?
We just got on Google Play, but I gotta straight some stuff out with it. So like we're there, but I don't know if it's up and running yet or what it looks like yet, but I know we're getting there for sure.
All right, that's a bet.
We did get approved though, so that's like half the battle, you know?
Yeah, yeah. That's what I was waiting on, just to get my approval, and then I was in there. I don't know if that had to do with me using like Feedburner all the time, but I'm glad I already kind of had it embedded with Google, so kind of just slid over.
Yeah.
But all right, now we got everybody introduced. So I don't know, where should we begin? Should we talk about your NBA champion, Cleveland Cavaliers?
They're not my NBA champion, Cleveland Cavaliers. They're our NBA champion, Cleveland Cavaliers. It's everybody's champions. They're the champions of the world, baby. You know?
All right. Well, now, what do you think? Does this solidify LeBron as probably going on to be, like, if not the greatest, the second greatest player to come in the NBA?
Well, I don't think it solidified anything really. Like, I think it already, I think he was already one of the top 10 players ever before the series started, so I don't think that really changed. I think what it did do was, in the eyes of most people, it did allow him to vault himself into a company of an even greater player. So maybe he went from top 10 to top 5. To me, it didn't change him, my opinion of him, that much, but in the eyes of most people, yeah, I would say that it kind of vaulted him a little bit higher up. I mean, unless you want to argue aesthetics of the game and just as far as how their games compare to one another, I think he's already past Kobe Bryant. And I think, and that's something I already wrote about on hiphopsportsreport.com, is that what LeBron accomplished in the finals was unlike anything that we've ever seen from Kobe or Michael Jordan. Now, that doesn't mean he's better than Michael Jordan. But what it means is that Michael Jordan was never in a situation where he had to come back from a 3-1 deficit in the finals. And that's not a knock, because that means, you know, his team was taking care of business. So that's a testament to Mike and his greatness. But at the same time, we saw LeBron in a place where we've never seen Jordan or Kobe before and dig themselves out of that hole. And doing it in the way that he did it, with the back-to-back 41-point games, the triple-double in Game 7, the block on Iguodala, shutting down Steph Curry, you know, taking the heat from the Golden State players in the media and their families in the media and on social media, wives and fathers of players and stuff like that. We've never seen anything like that. And LeBron vanquished all that in about 5 days. You know what I mean? And we've never seen that before. So I don't know that he's going to wind up being the second greatest player of all time, but I think it's within reach. I think being better than Michael Jordan is within reach. And I'm not even sure that Michael Jordan is the case closed greatest player of all time either. I think that can be debated. And I know my man Anthony feels very strongly that Michael Jordan is not the greatest player of all time. I'll let him dive into that if we have time. That might take about 40 minutes of him trashing.
let's go there right now.
Trashing Jordan.
Because, I mean, you're a Knicks fan, so I don't expect you to be the biggest Michael Jordan fan to begin with. But go ahead. I don't even know where to start. So
okay.
Like, you just hate hard approval?
Yes. I hate all day, every day.
on Michael Jordan, it pleases me to kind of trash this man for the abhorrent human being that he is. I mean, the guy, he's a horrible teammate. He is a guy who gets his coaches fired. You know, he tarnished his legacy by hanging it around too long. You know, he gambled on the game and had to get retired by David Stern to save the league and some other stuff that I don't like saying on camera. And he's a person that I just can't stand. He's a guy who possibly set back the beauty of the game by making everyone think they can only take step back jumpers.
He's the godfather of hero ball.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah. He's basically responsible for the headache that was J.R. Smith until he got under LeBron's tutelage and took all that Michael Jordan BS out of him and then made him a viable player in the NBA. And I mean, if there's anything I can say about Michael Jordan that's positive, is that the Charlotte Hornets are not a good basketball team. And that pleases me. You know, and you know what? He keeps a lot of shoe retailers with jobs. So, you know, I'm always about things that keep people employed. But that's about it. I hate everything about that dude.
Tell us how you really feel.
I'm glad I got the time to do it because I haven't ranted about him in about 3 days to other people. Wow. So
is it like on your schedule to make sure you get at least one out every week?
You got to trash him like at least once every few days.
It's a regular thing. It's a regular thing. And people don't understand, but you got to have your principles. And one of mine is hating on Michael Jordan. I don't make no apologies.
Well, there are some stories out there too, of, like you said, not just Jordan being a bad teammate, like punching out Steve Kerr in practice or whatever, but also,
right,
just him being a bad person in person, like Chamillionaire. There's the Chamillionaire story, which is everybody knows that story by now. And I know people that have run across Michael Jordan and say, man, that dude is a dirt, man. Like, I know people that have told me that based on their interactions with him. So, I mean, now, in his defense, if I were as rich and famous as Michael Jordan, if I've lived the life that Michael Jordan has lived the last 30 to 35 years, I don't know how well I would be adapting to that lifestyle either. Who's to say that I wouldn't be a jerk too? I don't know. But what I do know is that all indications seem to point to Michael Jordan being an a-hole. And,
okay, you know, that's fair enough.
And that's got nothing to do with his game on the court. That's got nothing to do with his game on the court. So I don't know if Anthony can separate the two. But
I choose not to. I choose not to. I choose not to. I'm sorry.
It's all good. Now, did y'all heard about that the Red Man story at the Def Jam party?
I don't know if I heard that one.
Well, what's that?
Apparently, like, he got invited there. I guess he was a guest of, like, one of the, like, executives that was running Def Jam at the time. And basically, like, he dissed Redman right there on the
spot. Oh, you know, I think I did hear that story. I think I did hear that story, actually, yeah.
And, like, that was like, man, again? It's like, how many rappers did Michael Jordan diss in his whole time? Like, that's a lot of disrespect for hip-hop and somebody who has, or a culture that is...
Michael Jordan listens to soft rock. I don't know if you knew that. Michael Jordan listens to 80s hair metal or something like that. That's what he.
I mean, it wouldn't surprise me because, like, if you look how he dressed like an old white dude that, you know, that golfs all the time. So I wouldn't put it past him.
What happened to our heroes, man? Like, Jordan used to be.
I mean, you would think a dude with such fly shoes would know how to dress.
That's what I'm saying. Like, what? And like, and this is like, we came up in the Jordan era, so it's kind of like, you know, and a lot of us, maybe not Anthony, but a lot of us still rock the sneakers and stuff. And like you said, like the classic ones. I don't know what happened to him that, like you said, he can't even pick out a decent pair of jeans anymore. And then you look at cats like Hove. Like, I don't know what happened with Hove. Like, Hove used to be the coolest man on the planet, and
Hove got married and had babies. Like, he's just not the same dude.
Anthony and I got married and had babies too, so I don't know what that. I don't know.
But that, see, it's different for us because we're not bringing out the influence like Jay-Z is,
right?
Because, like, if you think about, what is it, 2016? If you go back like 10 years, you was holding on to every Jay-Z lyric that came out because they was few and far between. It ain't the same no more.
No.
Now he the dude that's like kissing on Beyonce feet in the Lemonade video. It's not the same guy.
What did you think of any of his recent music? So I know Hov had he got the song with Future. He's got the song with Pusha T. He's got he's got his verse on the All the Way Up remix, which I talked about on the podcast recently. And then he's got this new record that came out just the other day in the wake of all the shootings that happened this past week. Did you hear any of those? What did you think of those?
I've heard some of them. I haven't heard the new one because I just purposely just been off Twitter for a little bit. But I don't know, man. I don't know about it this time. I was real. I was there before Holy Grail dropped. You know, I was thinking, okay, he's back in the studio. He in Hawaii with all the boys. This might be something epic. But, oof. It's like, if you think about the last album that he did, the best two songs was only like a minute and a half. You know, Beach is Better is probably the best song on there.
And they always teased us and said that he was going to put out like the rest of that song and it never came.
Well, right. Mike Will said he wasn't going to do nothing else. Because Mike Will was like, you're not going to finish it? He was like, nah, sometimes that's just it. Can't do no respect it. He was like, all right.
I know Mike Will didn't care as long as he got his money.
You know, right.
He got paid for a full track. He didn't get paid for 45 seconds of a song. But
exactly. You get production credit. You get all the title stream money. All that.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I don't know, man. I worry for Jay-Z. Jay-Z's my favorite rapper. He's been my favorite rapper since Hard Knock Life, probably in 1998, you know what I'm saying? And
oh god!
And he's—I mean,
that was so long.
I know
ago.
That was a long time ago. That was almost 20 years ago.
Thank you,
that was almost 20. I mean, so I don't know. I guess you know, rappers are—they're in a new lane now because they don't. We've never seen rap age before. You know what I mean? We've never seen rappers that are still relevant into their 40s and 50s or whatever. Like, there's rappers that are in the public eye, like LL Cool J is like a rapper who's still in the public eye, but that's because he hosts award shows and is on like NCIS or whatever show he's on. Like, he doesn't rap anymore. Like, Jay-Z still raps, or he still wants to, but I don't know what it is, man. I feel like he's in his own head. Like, none of these songs that he's put out of late is anything close to what we know and love from Jay-Z. So I kind of feel like he's maybe kind of he's hearing the whispers about people saying that he might be washed up, and maybe he's trying to discover new flows or whatever, and it's just, it ain't working. And it pains me to say that.
I think I know what's wrong with Jay, but I want to see what Anthony thinks.
You know how...
Because you're a New York Knicks fan, so I know you all about that whole life.
The thing about it is rap is a young man's game. Hov is not a young man and has not been a young man for a while.
Factually correct.
And that's just the way it is. We've never seen rap age, but Jay-Z's basically aged as a rapper probably as best as someone can. Because, I mean, we've talked, you know, me and Justin and the other, you know, our other teammate Kenny, kind of talked offline about how the basic timeline of a rap artist's career is the come up, and the rap is the come up. That first album is an entire life of material. That second one is basically that plus the climbing the ladder to being the man. The third one, if you get that far, is being the man. And that's where people always fall off, because so much of hip hop is about the struggle. Jay-Z has been so far removed from the struggle that it's like, you aren't supposed to be here. And then that was like maybe 10 years ago.
I think some of the criticism is unfair too. Like, say what you will about his lyricism, about, you know, the rhyme structure, but just as far as his subject matter, like, people get on him all the time about his content. And, you know, Jay would be
that's a big important part of being a rapper is your content.
Yeah, but like, people like Jay would be the first one to tell you, like, you know, I forget the line exactly, but, you know, the line where he said, you know, y'all want to hear old Hov, go buy my old albums. You know what I'm saying? Right. And it's just like, people expect either him to rap about dope, but it's like, he can't rap about the dope game like that often, because like you said, he's far removed from just being the struggle as far as an artist is concerned, Anthony. The Dope Game, Dope, like, Hov that used to move weight was like in the late 80s, early 90s. So we're talking like 25 years ago. Like, he can't keep living off those stories. You know what I mean? He's rapped about all of them. Like, we don't heard it all. How he went down south and, you know, he was in the home of the Terrapins, got a dirt cheap for them. Plus, if they were short with cheese, I could work with them. Like, we heard all those stories before. So now he's rapping about, you know, art in his house, and he's rapping about his family, and he's rapping about his business ventures and Roc Nation Sports, signing contracts, signing athletes, and buying a piece of the Brooklyn Nets and all this stuff and moving the team back to Brooklyn. Like, that's what he's rapping about. But then people criticize him for that, and they say, like, okay, well, we're tired of hearing about how much stuff you have. Like, you got enough stuff. We're tired of hearing about it. So it's kind of like, well, he can't rap about his past, and he can't rap about the present. So what is he supposed to rap about that's going to satiate the rap audience? Like, there's no middle ground for him. And I kind of feel for him on that.
Okay. All right. So let's see. I probably got like three things all together, because Anthony made a great point with Jay-Z is basically 10 years past his expiration date. His rap. You know, he's supposed to be spoiled milk that got thrown out a while ago. And he's still around. He's still fresh. He's still whole. And the reason that he does it is because he continues to, like, reinvent himself. And, you know, that's part of the thing that always keep people relevant. It's basically the Diddy blueprint. Like, every time he changed names, it's a different swag. You know,
Snoop did it too.
Making mix. Yeah, Snoop does it too.
Snoop changed more than anybody, because Snoop was like, first he was down with No Limit when No Limit was hot. Then he's down with, like, you know, whatever's hot at the moment. When Neptunes was hot, he was down with the Neptunes. Like, that's, Snoop is a chameleon.
Snoop was on trial for murder.
That's true. You know, and see, that's, but I think Snoop's reinvention is a little different. It kind of, he just kind of more or less just branded like the Snoop Dogg, you know, experience when it comes to everything.
Yep.
You know, that's more, he more had an evolution. But what I'm talking about with Jay-Z and like with Diddy is reinvention. You know, at first when he came out, it was the Reasonable Doubt. It was this, it's, I guess you could say, like, Jay-Z is known for persona rap. So when he came out, Reasonable Doubt, it was all fur coats, this mob ties type stuff.
Mafioso rap.
Yeah, it was all in that Dope stuff. And then, like, when you get Hard Knock Life, that's when you really get that straight out of Brooklyn, Jay-Z type flow. And then you got him into, like, the Big Pimpin' era, to where it's like, oh, yeah, I'm popping now. All your hoes come fool with me. And then he kind of moved on into Sean Carter. Then he was the CEO. Now he's the CEO of his own thing, family man, and so on and so forth. And the thing about it is the person that Jay-Z is isn't as interesting as the other personas that he was previously. Mm-hmm. And it really doesn't give him a lot to rap about that he hasn't already said. So the thing I think Jay-Z has to do is really just get in tune with the art side of things. Really, like, looking at, like, his best work since this early stuff is American Gangster. And that was because it was a concept. It was, you know, taking on the Frank Lucas persona and really crafting out basically like a movie of words. And I still play American Gangster over anything else Jay-Z done put out for the last 10 years. You know, probably up until like Black Album. So if he wanted to like start doing stuff like that, getting to these like, you know, kind of like I said, these personas and just really identify some way, I think he could really make a comeback. But doing this stuff with Future, you know, I got him keys. Like, that's not Jay-Z.
No, not.
That's not him. Like, just, I was so disappointed, because on paper, it sounds real good. I'm like, okay, you know, Jay-Z, betting the game, rocking with Future. Okay, 2016, let's turn up. You know, we're going to have Jay-Z in the club in Atlanta now. You know, I was ready.
I mean, I've written about that too, but like about the concept of, you know, the guy who's like Jay-Z, who we all put on a pedestal, right, as being one of the greatest to ever do it. and collaborating with these up and coming artists. Not that Future's like exactly up and coming, because Future's been on the scene for at least like a good 5 years, but you know what I mean? Like whoever's the hot artist at the moment, like that is a mutually beneficial relationship when that tends to happen. People tend to look at it as like, oh, this new cat got a cosign from Jay-Z. Well, Jay-Z's benefiting from that too, because it's keeping him relevant. So he's able to collab with Future. He did it with, like, you look at the Blueprint 3, which, you know, personally, I like the Blueprint 3 better than American Gangster, but
it was good.
But
Blueprint 3 was
good. But I mean, like if you look at Blueprint 3, he collaborated with Drake and Kid Cudi on that record, you know, and that was like 2009. And J. Cole. So that was like 2009. And it was, we got Drake with Drake.
Drake's song was whack, though.
Yeah, it was horrible. It was beyond horrible. But that's not the point. The point is that they tried, right? So we had Jay with Drake, Kid Cudi, and J. Cole all on the same album in 2009. So we've seen Jay-Z try to do this. Like, he still tries to reach out to these cats that are younger to try to keep himself relevant. But I think at the end of the day, if it's, as long as he's rhyming and the raps are dope, I think people are still going to accept it. But like you said, that I got the keys, and he's trying to rap over that kind of cadence. And yeah. I just think he's kind of reaching, you know? And, you know, I'm Josh Norman on the corner. I ain't normal, nigga. It's like, it just didn't do nothing for me. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, it's okay. But we're so, like, the expectations that Jay-Z has laid out for everybody has, you know, it's so far beyond just okay for all these years. Like, we maybe hold him to an unrealistic expectation at this point, especially given the fact that he's literally about to be 50 years old in like 2 years.
Okay.
He's in a no-win situation.
Mm-hmm.
Like at this point, he's literally a kingmaker. That J. Cole record you talked about basically put J. Cole, I don't want to say on the map, but I mean, it opened him up to like a much wider.
I would say it put him on the map.
Okay, well, good, because I like to be right. I was a little nervous about saying that, but you know what? Let's go with it. It put him on the map.
It did. It's a big look.
He's got J. Cole as a person he introduced to the world, so to speak. He's got Kanye West, who is maybe the three or four biggest musical artists on the planet right now. He's got Rihanna. Like, the things that he's done from the business standpoint, from introducing, you know, different artists, you know, bringing different artists to the next level. I mean, those are the things that he can do. But if he keeps jumping on stuff, like there's a little bit of the way Drake does that with any new coming up. And it seems cool, but it's also like, well, Drake, you're just trying to stay in the limelight. And that may be okay for Drake because he's at being the man right now. Jay-Z, it's like everything is so much more expected of him. He can't have, like, his rhymes are just average, but because it's him, average ain't good enough. But I don't want to hear about his 22 cars, and I don't want to hear all the time about how fine Beyonce is. And there's no winning for Jay-Z,
except for he
never loses. So it's just like.
He might be losing a title right now. I don't know.
Nah, bro.
Maybe.
Bro,
his losing will be $50 million.
I don't think he's losing on a title because you kind of have to know
when to hold him and when to fold him.
Not really. But no, you gotta just looking at how the tech thing is, it's more about just growing the business to sell. Somebody's gonna buy a title. It'll probably be Apple or it'll be Google or Twitter or somebody. I would put a bet on Twitter because they need to do something that's really going to make some bread. But the fact that he's bringing that exclusive content straight from the artists themselves, streaming in these live concerts, you know, you got the Kylie Grove live at the Tabernacle, you know, Lil Wayne and 2 Chainz exclusively on Tidal. Like, to me, there's something there that I always said that would be the difference in all these streaming services. It just so happened Jay-Z got on it. But I'll say this, as far as with him doing new music, I think what we expect is when people get on the song with Jay-Z, we expect them to step up to Jay-Z's level, not Jay-Z step down to their level. Because if you look at any of the Jay-Z like remix verses, like the Young Jeezy, went dumb on it. Two of them, matter of fact. It was the it might have been three. Was it Put On? Mm-hmm. Dope Boys Go Crazy.
That was a good one.
It was one more, but I mean, it's a trend. It's just like kind of like with Lil Wayne. If you listen to anything Lil Wayne does, listen to the songs that he does with Euro. Because I guarantee you, if Euro's on that song, you're going to get the best Lil Wayne. He ain't no joke right there. But other than that, he might just be barfing on a beat and just talk, it sound hot as whatever it is that you just might have heard on radio. But, I mean, this whole influencer marketing thing is kind of widespread. It's done a lot in the business world. And it just so happens that in hip-hop, it's really easy. Because T.I. does it, Drake does it. You know, you use other people's energy to bring attention to yourself. Just sourcing an audience. I got Young Thug's audience. Let me make sure that they come fooling with me because he got a lot of energy moving right now. So, I mean, I can't really knock nobody for it because it's literally like what everybody's doing. It's kind of like what we're doing right now. We collabing, using each other's audiences to bring something a little bit bigger together. So, that's my spiel on that.
I want to see Jay-Z on top, man. I don't want to see him struggling. You know what I'm saying? It's like watching like a boxer that been in the ring too long, and then you know they're old man, and they can't even speak right anymore. You know what I'm saying? And they slur their speech and stuff like that. Like Jay-Z at this rate, it's going down a sad road, is what I'm trying to say. I don't want it to go down that road, man. I want Hov to be on top. I like Hov being the king, man, and it's making the King of New York thing meaningless. You know what I'm saying? Like, because if he's not the king, I don't know who is. There's nobody else that's there to ready to take the throne right now. I don't think Designer is going to take the throne from Jay-Z. So, you know what I'm saying? So, I don't know.
I don't know about the King of New York, but I know who's the king of hip-hop right now, and it's Drake. So, are y'all up to speed on this Drake Joe Budden thing?
I am.
Yeah. A little bit, yeah.
All right, so for everybody out there that's listening or watching, basically, Drake all but name-checked Joe Budden in, 4 p.m. to Calabasas?
Yeah, that was the record that Budden believed is entirely about him, or 90% about him, which...
I mean, yeah. He did. He had a few little dabs when I listened to it. I was like, huh, that was a little slick right there. He just kind of fastballed that one through there. But, you know, when rappers, they say stuff, and we all know, like, the subliminal disc is one of the instigators of some of the best beef out there. So I'm not surprised. But anyway, Joe Budden goes on, what was that, Pitchfork, calls Drake's views uninspired, which I agree with.
That was on his own podcast, I think.
Oh, it was on his podcast, yeah. So, and I'm like, I'm totally with that. It sounded uninspired. It kind of sounded like, you know, he was piggybacking off Rihanna and just doing what he does best and not really growing sonically. So I guess Drake now took offense to that. And, I mean, if you would have asked me, I'd have been like, Drake don't want them problems. And then I heard that Megan the Murder. I was like, Drake don't want them problems. I don't think he can do the same thing he did to Meek Mill of Joe Budden. He's not having it. So where do y'all sit on it? Anthony, do you think Joe Budden is out of line? You think he might be getting too personal? And I guess also to piggyback off of that, do you think that Joe Budden might be going against a brick wall because Drake not going to respond?
Yes and yes. I'm 30. I'll be 31 tomorrow. And I grew up on New York rap. My favorite rapper is Jadakiss, yes, you know. Right, yeah.
New York B?
All that. So, like, I just completely disrespect the sub-tweets and all the other stuff. It doesn't do anything for me. And then the thing that with Joe Budden and Drake is that Drake is doing the best thing now. He's in a no-win situation, no matter if it's real or not. I have my doubts on how real it is from Drake to Budden or how worthwhile it is from... I mean, it's definitely worthwhile for Budden to Drake, but I don't know how much reality is there. But there's like they're just not in the same weight class, you know, popularity wise. I don't want to. It's like watching, I don't know, Mike Tyson fight like Butterbean. Like, well, I don't want to watch either of that. I don't care.
They're both champions, though. Anthony, what are you talking about?
Right.
Hey, I got to call my dad now. Bring back memories. Agree. But I get you on that. I think it's a little sad that they're not on the same level because this is a real challenge. Like, to me, Meek Mill is one thing, but Joe Budden, like, that dude got bars. And I don't think Drake, with his ghost-written lyrics, can even comprehend and get close to what Joe Budden is capable of. I mean, what about you, Jay?
So, you're right about Budden being able to rap. I think Joey can spit, and I think that what's interesting, though, is that I think his popularity, as you guys pointed out, has never really been there. His approval rating has never been anywhere close to where Drake's is right now. And people have always kind of found reasons to kind of slander Joe Budden. And I think Budden kind of adds fuel to the fire on a lot of occasions. And I think this is one of them. So I'm kind of stepping on a column I got coming out probably later today about this very topic. But yeah, nice. So, but the thing is like Anthony pointed it out, like this is much more beneficial for Joe Budden than it is for Drake. So why would Drake even give Joe Budden the time of day, you know, to address him and put Budden on the map? Like, that's all Budden is looking for, it seems like. Because to me, and I talked about this on the podcast recently, Budden launched his own podcast, and now he actually called himself a podcaster on Twitter the other day. And I'm just thinking, like, bro, you're not a podcaster. You know what I'm saying? Like, you are a rapper who started a podcast. Now, that's great. You know what I mean? But, you know, good for you to do that. But it to me, it signifies him raising a white flag on his career to a certain degree, or he's just using the podcast thing strictly as a vehicle to promote his own music. And that's what it feels like. I watched a video where he had a video podcast going of his reaction to Views. And even though I kind of agree with what he said, he was so animated on that podcast trashing Views, it really just felt forced. Like, the whole thing seemed like it was just a ploy to try to coax Drake into some kind of beef. And it makes sense because Drake has shown in the past that he's willing to get into a beef. And he's also the biggest star in the game right now. He's been number one on the Billboard charts for like 10 straight weeks. So it makes sense to go at Drake. And then if you can get him to actually respond to you, now all of a sudden you got more podcast listeners. Now you got more people interested in what Joey's talking about. Now you get brought back on Love & Hip Hop New York season 25. You know what I'm saying? Like, all those things, all those ancillary pieces of Joe Budden's career, he's looking to advance. Drake can do that for him. And it doesn't make any sense for Drake to even acknowledge it. But to me, Drake has shown a willingness to acknowledge people directly in the past. We saw it last summer. So why would Drake subliminally take shots at Joe Budden, but then not directly take shots at Joe Budden? You know what I'm saying? Like Joe Budden's making it sound like, oh, he's scared. He's, you know, this ain't Meek Mill. You know what I'm saying? I'm a different breed or whatever. And to me, it's just like, bruh, like he would take shots at you if he had a legitimate reason to be upset with you. But clearly, you took 4 p.m. at Calabasas and tried to make it all about you. And now you're going on these Twitter rants like you did last night about Drake. And the whole thing just feels forced, man. Like, he's so starved for attention. It's just sad and depressing, man. Like, Budden is better than this. He can rhyme. Like you said, Slaughterhouse and all that stuff. Like, Budden can really rap. Like, why are you subjecting yourself to this and making yourself look pathetic? Like, I don't understand it.
Well, I mean, there is the whole security thing. You know, and that I was cause ill to somebody. Anytime females get involved into a situation, or really it's a couple of female or money or just, you know, just
so are we confirming that Drake smashed Tahiri? Is that what we're confirming right now?
I would confirm it on the Making the Murder Part One. He did a whole verse about it. You know, so it's gotta be something there. I don't think he would have put that energy 16 bars into, you know, basically calling Drake having his leftovers. I don't think he would have did it, but there was some truth to it. Like, they run in somewhat of the same circles, and I'm sure that shit got back to Joe Budden. So, about this because that was a tough time to be sports. I'm not gonna lie. That whole little era where he was just on camera just crying all the fucking time. That shit sad. Like, bro, I was like, I'm trying to tell everybody I know who is Joe. Can you please just stop crying about this shit? But it just comes full circle because he really did put a lot of emotion into his rap. So I mean, you can really feel Joe when he does stuff like this. So he is going up against a brick wall because Trey getting apple. Like, somebody may know where near that. It's,
no.
Like, it's so sad. Because I would love to hear Drake try the button and let people decide, oh, this is what it is. But, you know, we had a different time period. You just really say stuff and people don't really care because there's so much other stuff going on out there.
Like you said, man, it's two different weight classes. It's two different weight classes. It doesn't really benefit Drake to respond in any way. You know what I'm saying? Like I mean, if I was advising him, I'd be like, respond for what? Right. I mean, what does he have to prove by dissing Joe Budden? He's got, I mean, we already know Drake can rhyme, you know, albeit, you know, some of it may be, like you said, you know, some writtens or some ghost writtens or whatever, but people don't seem to mind and people don't seem to care about that sort of thing. So Drake, we know he can rhyme. We know he can handle himself appropriately in a beef setting. So why, what does he have to prove on that front? And why does he have to give Joe Budden that shine? You know, it reminded me of a basketball analogy, which is actually another rap analogy. So like when Deshaun Stevenson was throwing shade at LeBron and LeBron said, man, that's like Jay-Z responding to Soulja Boy.
I remember that.
Yeah, it was Deshaun Stevenson for the Wizards. Yeah. Yeah. And he said, it's like Jay-Z responding to Soulja Boy. Like, I'm not going to do that. Like, for what? You know? And he was right. And, like, in a couple of years, Deshaun Stevenson was out of basketball where he belongs. So, you know what I'm saying? Like this is what happens when you have people trying to throw rocks at the throne. You know what I mean? Jay even warned Drake about this on the Light Up record together. He said people was, I think what he said was, silly rap feuds trying to distract you. Remember that? Like, that's exactly what he said that this would happen. Like, this is what's happening. This is a silly rap feud trying to distract Drake when he's over here making millions and holding meetings with Tim Cook and having the number one album in the country for 10 weeks in a row. And you got this guy, you know, like I said, Joe Budden is a respected lyricist in most circles, but I mean, he's just not on Drake's level from a popularity standpoint. And so it just would be silly for him to come back with anything, I think.
It's tough, man. See, I'm an old school hip hop fan, so to speak. You know, I'm used to you coming in on battle rap. Like, even if you didn't actually say the dude's name, if it was just like a whole track of subliminal business, you know, just like show me you got that dog in you to go in the booth and rip off like 60 bars about Joe Budden. I just want to see you capable. Like, it doesn't actually have to mean anything. I just want to see, you know, and that's just me as a rap fan at the core.
We know Drake's not that guy, though. Like if he was going to come out like, oh, I would do this, I'm going to do that, we would just be like, no, you're not. No, you're not. And so, I mean, he would just lose on that route. Otherwise, he could just make jokes about him crying or whatever. And we already know that. But then Drake cries on all his albums. So it's like, I mean, there's just no reason to do it. And then probably the majority of people that, you know, buy Drake albums don't know who Joe Budden is. And so it's like, why introduce them to something that they don't care about? And then you don't care about it either, just to make everyone know that you can address him or not. You know, there's no good motivation to do it, especially after he already destroyed Meek Mill's career. So,
and we live in a different time too, man. So back to back last summer was fun, but I mean, like in the pantheon of like great diss records, like that was not the most. You know what I'm saying? Like, that was not the greatest diss record we've ever heard, right? Like, I mean, I think we can all agree on that. it was cool, and it was good for what it did, and it still embarrassed Meek Mill, but like it wasn't like the greatest diss record of all time. But
do we have a consensus the greatest diss record of all time? Does anybody have any disagreements?
So the ones that immediately come to mind are the ones that are probably immediately come to everybody's mind. So No Vaseline. No Vaseline. Number one has got to be either No Vaseline, Ether, or Hit 'Em Up, maybe. But, I mean, you know.
Ether is the one that kind of resonates for me the most.
Yeah, I mean, I would tend to agree with that about, like, Ether. Ether was bad.
I'm all in. Like, all my chips were pushed to the table. Give me Ether as number one diss song of all time. Like, I know what you're saying. Like, No Vaseline went hard. Like, even when you listening to it, when you watch the Straight Outta Compton movie, you be like, ugh, you like, Q gave him something vicious. But that
Q was not to be trifled with. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, talk about transformations.
No kidding. Showed right? up, man. I mean...
He wasn't never that lifestyle, no way, if you see from the movie. He was just the guy that knew how to put it together the best.
Hmm. And with the one thing I'll say about No Vaseline, though, and to a lesser extent, Hit 'Em Up, but more so No Vaseline, is like that record was a little before my time. So, like, you know, when it came out, I wasn't checking for it when it came out. Let's put it that way. You know what I'm saying? That's but true. I was definitely checking for Ether when Ether dropped. Like, that was right in my wheelhouse coming of age. You know what I'm saying? And so... I have a different appreciation for it. If we brought like one of my cousins on the podcast, that's a little older than me, they might have a different spin on it. You know what I'm saying? Because at that time, No Vaseline was vicious. You know what I'm saying? So, I think you can make an argument for any of those records, but I don't have any. CL, I'm not gonna judge you at all for pushing all your chips in on Ether. No, I will not. That first line of the record, where Nas says, East, West, North, South, flossed out, greedy. I embrace y'all with napalm. No guts, blow it up. Left chest, face gone. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. How could Nas be garbage? You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, my gosh. To this day. You're right. I mean, so, yeah. I've got no beef with putting Ether number one, but... I will say, though, that I always felt that the Takeover kind of got overlooked because he only dedicated one verse to Nas on the Takeover. And then Ether is the one that's compared to it. But he put like a whole 5-minute record together on Ether. So you compare those two and it's like, well, if Jay-Z had decided to put a whole 5 minutes together on the first blow, then maybe we would have looked at Takeover differently. But that's... I mean, I do.
Right there between Super Ugly and the Takeover, you got 4 minutes, but they still ain't shit compared.
I remember Super Ugly, and he went at him again on Blueprint 2 on that one record. I forget the name of the record, but he went at him again on Blueprint 2. But you're probably right.
I remember, and this is, I mean, it was before, you know, before Twitter, before Facebook or whatever, and it was like listening to the radio, just like the local, you know, chump DJs, Jay-Z lost. Can you believe it? Jay-Z lost. And it was just like, it was so big and it was so definitive. You know, I mean, it was just a space and time. Like, I mean, Ether is, to me, is hands down the best diss record ever.
It almost sounded like in that moment, Nas was actually LeBron James going up against the Warriors. Because if you look at it, like, Jay-Z had the whole team, State Property, Memphis Bleak, Neil, the whole nine, Biggie Single.
I think that's how it started too. Wasn't it like a Bleak Nas thing or something at first, and it escalated.
Yeah.
So Memphis Bleak was like the Klay Thompson of the situation. You know what I'm saying? Saying like, I guess he's in his feelings. I guess his feelings is hurt. You know what I'm saying? And then
like Draymond, he was more like Draymond in that situation.
your boy from Saginaw.
But you know, we don't co-sign everything he do, but that's the dude though. Shout out Sag Nasty.
So there you go. That was part one. Uno. One. Remember that Diddy record? No, of course you don't. Yeah, that was part one of the podcast with the Rundown Sports and Hip Hop Sports Report, the joint affair. You know, we had the super cop up on that one. And we got part two coming up. I don't know exactly when part two is going to be posted. It might be posted tomorrow. I think I might actually post it tomorrow evening, I'm thinking. So you'll have two consecutive days listening to Jay Higgs run his yak about sports and hip-hop music. You know what I mean? So I want to apologize. I had some technical difficulties on my end and when I recorded the podcast, and CL's kind of, you could tell the CL, you had some trouble hearing him in certain parts, and his voice was kind of faded out or whatever, and it kind of came back, and it was just kind of difficult to hear. You can still hear what he's saying, but it's just kind of difficult in certain spots, so I want to apologize for that audio error that I had on my end. So but next time we're not gonna have any of those issues, I assure you. But yeah, you will hear some of them on part two though. You're gonna hear a couple of those issues on part two, I'm thinking. But you know, that's how it goes, man. It was our first time using that equipment, so like I said, going forward when we use it again, I think it's gonna be great. And I think y'all enjoyed that conversation. That was a riveting hip-hop conversation and a little bit of sports talk, and then we really get into some Kevin Durant Golden State Warriors talk in the second part of the podcast. And then we also hit on LeBron James and whether or not LeBron was wrong to leave the Cavaliers in 2010. I know we're kind of rehashing ancient history at this point, and everything is, you know, LeBron came home, he done made up and all that stuff. I get all that, but this is kind of how podcasts go. You know, the conversation just kind of goes where it goes. And this is kind of where it took us. And CL kind of threw a couple shots at Cleveland, and I had to defend Cleveland. So, guilty. You know what I mean? This is who I am. I think you guys know that about me by now. So, thank you all for listening. Stay tuned for part two of this podcast, hiphopsportsreport.com. Go ahead and check out the website. Again, check us out on Twitter and Facebook. And again, the podcast can be heard on iTunes and Stitcher. I need y'all to go ahead and subscribe to us, y'all. Go ahead and hit subscribe and tell all your friends about it. We're going to be back at y'all with part two soon. In the meantime, we out of here. Peace.